Hello and welcome, everybody, to Why Should Your Team Win? A hockey podcast where I interview a fan from each of the NHL's 32 teams. And you guys, I'm so excited. I got Josh from New Jersey. Give it up for my guest, Josh.
Oh. You know, it's only people that aren't from New Jersey that say Jersey,
yeah.
And actually, if those Jerseys said Jersey, we wouldn't actually have the issue we had with the Jerseys and then the hat. But they had to go and put Jersey on a jersey. And now Marty Brodeur is in hockey operations, not anything else.
No, I actually just saw the hat. I thought that was pretty funny. Well, Josh, tell me about your favorite team.
I'm a Devils fan. I grew up a Devils fan. I started finding hockey probably about 8, 9, 10 years old playing outside. My dad grew up a Rangers fan, so he tried to push me there, but I was highly influenced by the Friends and the Devils who were relatively new at that point, because I'm as old as the Devils are. So as I'm 8, 9 years old, 10 years old in 1990, the Devils started turning into their own. It was when they drafted Marty and they started becoming a team. And I was lucky to have spent my formative years watching the Devils not let anybody score for a while. And as a lot of people say, ruin the game with the neutral zone trap. But so I'm actually really happy that the Devils have turned around their massive idea of defense, and now they're one of the top scoring teams in the league. So it's fun to watch.
Yeah, that'd be exciting to be a Devils fan right now. Who's your all-time favorite Devil?
And this is going to come off weird. So I still play hockey. Mm-hmm. I actually play hockey internationally. And I wear 93 for Doug Gilmore, who was on the team for favorite player. I'm not good, and that kind of absolves me from having to pick a favorite Devil. it kind of takes the decision. But as a defenseman, I always love Scott Niedermayer. He was an amazing player on both sides of the ice. And the most amazing thing about Scott Niedermayer is one of the drills you would do as a forward and defenseman, you would do full ice one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. And backskating you're not as fast of a backskater as forward. And you'd usually start as a defenseman, you know, at the circle, maybe a little at the top of the circle, and you go full ice. You're skating back, they're sprinting forwards. And Niedermayer always did it from the goal line and never lost. I mean, and it is not an easy thing. And to stay with the top forwards in the game at that speed is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So if you're forcing me, I have to go with Scott Niedermayer.
Yes, I usually force them to say so. you guys are having this amazing start of your season. You got to be one of the biggest surprises in the league, but not so much because you've had the pieces the last few years. Who's a player right now that is just, you know, blowing you away, so to speak?
Well, until last night, Vanacek. But everybody gets one of those. We were supposed to do this yesterday, and it looked a lot better. Did the Bruins win yesterday? Or are we still tied? Or did they take the cake?
I'm not sure. I think there was a brawl in the stands, though. I think I saw that.
Oh, no. That was a college game with a lot of Bruins fans there. I just saw that on social media.
I think like a finger got bitten off.
Was it really? God. I saw the cops watching it and then dove on. And I was like, what is going on? But yeah, it was a bunch of... I thought it, because someone said it was a college game. Saw it somewhere.
Yeah. Well, right, Mullet Arena.
Nice. Colorado, the Coyotes beat the Bruins. So now we're still even. And both streaks get snapped at the same time. But really, That game left. And I mean, we also, when we signed Vitek Vanacek, we were expecting a 1B to Blackwood's really what it is, a 1B.
Yeah.
I mean, Blackwood went down and he had to step up. We had, we have Akira Schmid we brought up from the AHL, who's, I mean, he's young. He's got a couple of years. He's got a promise to him, but I mean, he's still played well too, but Vanacek's sitting up. Well, was sitting up there
yeah.
with the top numbers in the league until he pulled up a stinker in a period and a half yesterday. But I mean, those happen. I think a lot of the pieces that were put, like you said, the pieces have been there, mm-hmm. but those pieces have been injured. I mean,
yeah,
Heischer's been hurt. I'm knocking on wood for everything. Heischer's been hurt every year. Hughes was out twice last year. Mm-hmm. Dougie Hamilton, our prize free agent signing, was out half the year after he took one to the face.
Yeah.
So, and I'll be the first one to say it. I was calling for Lindy Ruff's head after those first two games of the season. I was. It was not pretty.
Yeah.
It was ugly. It was ugly, and it was to the Flyers, who were who have now come back down to being an awful team again, but they were supposed to be awful.
Yeah.
And the Red Wings, which were the other like young team, and we just got absolutely beat down. And people were calling for Lindy's head, and the players had a players only meeting. And what happened next is 22 wins and 3 losses. So I mean, it's there. And to the point where we're getting scoring from all 4 lines. So as much as you want to say it's Vanacek that's been the prize, it has just been multiple people stepping up. Miles Wood was out all last year.
Mm-hmm.
We got Nathan Bastian back from the Kraken after giving him up in the expansion draft. Who's not a great player, but when you put that fourth line together, it's going back to when the Devils had the crash line in the 90s. They created havoc. They stopped pucks and
yeah.
put the points on the board. And that's what's helping us out a lot. Is that?
Well, no, it's cool. And, you know, Jack Hughes, I think that game. Yeah, you guys lost that game yesterday. But he had an interesting stat. Longest time on the ice ever in the NHL. He spent 6 minutes on the ice.
I saw that at the longest shift there. Not that that's like the best thing, but we've all done it.
Another historical thing. Yeah. Well, you guys played Chicago a few days ago, and Hughes had that really silky pass to, was it Hamilton? I think so. Scored a nice one. But it was the first time you guys have shut out Chicago in about 23 years. So that
Can that be our clip? Because the guy I do our podcast with, Drew, is a Blackhawks fan. We just need to leave that one there. I didn't know that. That's a great stat. 23 years.
Yeah, that's
back to when the Devils were actually good.
Yeah. Well, no, speaking of that, the Devils in the 90s, like when I grew up, everyone had a Devils jersey in the 90s. I mean, because you guys won the Cup in 95 and 2000.
96, 02, 95, 02, and 03.
Okay. And then
95, 2000, and 2003. Sorry. And then somehow made it back in 2012. But I mean, here's the thing is that you either liked that Devils team or you didn't like that Devils team, because it was not fun hockey. It was 2-0 games. Mm-hmm. It was 3-1 games, and it was all based on defense. And there are many people who, even to this day, I will still get crap for the Devils ruined hockey. Red Wings fans, Rangers fans, like think about the good Blues fans, think about the Stars fans, figured out ways to shut them down. The Penguins.
Yeah.
That's what I hear from all of them that were the perennial 90s teams and the early 2000s teams.
Yeah.
You guys ruined hockey. And then because of that, now goal scoring is up at a ridiculous rate.
Yeah. No, I just remember that 2003 series when they were against the Ducks and Scott Stevens knocked out Paul Kariya on the ice. And I mean, Paul Kariya died for about 10 seconds and then came back to life. I remember watching that game, just watching Paul Kariya breathe back to life. It was just like, holy shit. And I think I was cheering for the Minnesota Wild that year just because I grew up in North Dakota. But yeah, Jersey won it that year. And I don't know. I remember not wanting them to win though, because I liked Paul Kariya.
But you know what the end of that Paul Kariya story is, right? Oh, I don't know if you remember. Paul Kariya came back in that game and tied it.
In the third, yep. And he doesn't remember.
He came back in that game later in the game and tied in the third with them. Those hits are no longer in hockey anymore.
Yeah.
With good reason, because literally, like you said, he doesn't remember scoring I think it was game tying goal at that point.
Mm-hmm. But I think they won that game.
I mean, it's been a long time coming, and actually, like, it's been a long time coming. And, you know, it's we had the Brodeur hangover for a long time. We had him, and it took us, look, we had 2012 to 2022. It took 10 years to get the rebuild fully done to the point where I wouldn't call us contenders yet, but I mean, because it's such a young team. But yeah, there's definitely a massive future for the Eagles.
Yeah, I definitely think you guys are going to the playoffs for sure. Except for this guy, Keith Yandel, he had a hot take. Did you hear him? He's like, yeah, New Jersey's not going to make the playoffs. I was like, oh, okay. What are your thoughts on that guy saying that?
That's great, Keith. That's great, Keith. And so bad last year, the Flyers would have let you finish out your Iron Man streak.
Yeah.
Which is terrible. And that's 100% a Flyers thing. You do know that, right? He was like six short of 1,000, and the Flyers sat him when they're the worst team in the league. And his plus, I'm sorry, his plus minus was in the 40s, in the negative 40s. You can't, at this point, you should probably take a year or two off Keith Yandel before you talk. But what did he say?
Yeah. No, he just had a hot take. He's like, they're not going to make the playoffs. That was his hot take. And it's, you know, they're neck and neck with Boston right now. They've been the 1-2 team all season. Yeah, we're only a quarter of the season done, but a third of the way almost now. It's just one of those clickbait things to say. I mean, he's a Rangers fan, right? Yeah.
I mean, Keith Yandel just retired from the Fly. He retired last year. He just retired.
No.
Last year was, I actually was in Philly at the Flyers practice facility the day they did that to him, the day after they did that to him. And I looked at the guy that was at the store, and I was like, how could they do that? And he's like, well, it was plus minus was 40. I'm like, so is your record.
Yeah, I think it's a crummy deal.
But really, yeah, it's just I mean, at the beginning of the season, that it's awful. Yeah. I mean, it's awful. And look what's going on with Pat Maroon's. This Maroon is the opposite. Like, Pat Maroon got it done the right way, and it turned around the other way for Yandel. But I even said in the beginning of the year, I thought the Devils had a chance to be on the brink of that playoffs, and had the firepower to take out a 1 or 2 seed. Like, and my buddy, who's a Blackhawks fan, is also a Leafs fan, because that's what I was seeing, is that 7 or 8 spot against, they're the team that could knock out the Leafs. That's the exact team. But I mean, they've been playing. And I felt like they needed time to develop, but like, they've been playing, it took them two games to wake up, and they've been playing well since. They've had two bad games.
Yeah.
They've had two bad games. Mm-hmm. And one of them, they scored more goals than the opponent.
Yeah. And they got disallowed or whatever, right? That one. The last time they played Toronto.
The whole joke is the ref, it was his fourth game. He was from the Toronto area. I'm also a ref. It's a tough one to be impartial when it's your team. But the joke is that he reviewed all three reviewed in Toronto. So we got beat by Toronto, just not the Maple Leafs. And all three of them were borderline, and all three of them, if they were called goals on the ice, would have stood. The first one, it was called because the goalie fell down. But the goalie fell down a second and a half after he was clipped by a skate, just clipped. But by the rule of law, he was hit while it was involved in the play, so it's not a goal. I get it. The second one, the goalie goes all the way out the front of cutting inside to go to the net and gets cut. And he actually interfered with the Devils player, but you're never going to call that on the goalie. You're going to call on the player.
Yeah.
And then from there, he loses his balance, and 10 seconds later, they score. Yeah. And the third one was my favorite. Is because it is in the rule book. He kicked that puck away from the net. He kicked it right to his stick, went off two skates, and went in. Mm-hmm. And it's too funny. But that's why last night losing to the Islanders wasn't that bad, because that game that game against the Maple Leafs, we killed them. It wasn't a game. We were on them the whole game. It was those overturned goals it was a 3-2 game. We scored five goals.
Yeah.
We scored five goals and three of them were just allowed. It's unbelievable. But that's kind of what took us up and what kept that streak going, because all you have to say is, we outscored the opponent until yesterday.
Yeah. But, I want to ask you about a couple of former Devils. I just wanted to ask you about a couple of former Devils. What was up with PK Subban in New Jersey? What happened to him? Right?
So I think you are seeing what PK did. I think PK was brought in to mentor a lot of these young kids and not be an old guy, kind of be the guy who's, he's maybe in his 30s, but he's still kind of acts like he's in his 20s, and he's all on social media, and he kind of has that mentality. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they expected the level of play that they got. I know he was great in the locker room, and I know he was great as a leader for a lot of young guys. Because we've talked about this in the podcast before, and I've had to defend him through all the slew foots, which in the beginning, the first one on Reeves made a move, and then I stopped defending him because the second time, and then third, fourth, and fifth, you can't. But he's one of do you follow baseball?
Here and there. I mean, I'm a Twins fan.
Do you follow baseball?
I'm a Twins fan, but very casual.
All right. So CeCe Sabathia, he was so big that he needed to lose his weight.
Oh, I remember him.
When CeCe lost weight, between losing weight and losing age, he lost a lot of strength. And was the way I play. I can't be overpowering anymore at 34 the way I was at 27, because I don't have the physical strength to do that. And it's kind of the way that PK needed to look at it. And never really did. He kept trying to play the Canadiens way, and the way he played in the beginning with Nashville, which was just a full-out offensive four, and that he is kind of a stay-at-home defenseman at this point. And he's got a little bit of offensive skill, but that's what it was. And that's kind of the way it was. We did it as, I know it was more of a cat move to help out the Preds. But I think a lot of what he, the positives that he did, sorry, most of the positives that he did were behind the scenes, because what everybody sees are the negative, are how he, a play on the ice. But the way, from what I know, the way he was, the way he treated the new kids and taught the new kids how to play, and, you know, that next level, I think that's really kind of what you're seeing now, is okay. that after effect of having him in that locker room, being that good locker room presence.
So another player. So my favorite hockey team is the University of North Dakota Fighting Hawks. But Zach Parise used to be a superstar for UND. What were your thoughts on him? He played a long time in New Jersey and he had a really good year once, but he, I don't know. What are your thoughts on Parise?
Well, Parise, the problem with Parise is we just did not have much around him. Zach Parise uh-huh. was awesome for us. More awesome for us than he was with the, well, actually the first year or two of the Wild, he was great. But hey, he's back with Lou Lamoriello and the Islanders now, as is half yeah. As is a third of the team is former Devils. And after last night, I don't really like Parise that much, even though he didn't do much to us. But no, Parise was great. Parise, so I took a little time away from hockey, probably in a little bit of around that time, mm-hmm. kind of towards the end of the 20 that kind of 2012 towards like. And then his trade kind of ended it, because that was
yeah.
the Devils kind of selling it off. But I did like Parise. If Parise hadn't two or three more inches to him, he would have been – he possibly get out of Hall of Fame career. But I'm yeah. not a big guy myself. It's just that's the way the NHL goes.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
NHL went then. It's I mean, it's changed a lot now. The last 5 or 6 years, you have the infusion of just so much more speed and space to the game. And them calling more penalties on physicality, so it opens the game up. And players like, not Parise now, because Parise now is kind of in that twilight of his career when he's not that full yeah. speed force that he was. Just he's a mm-hmm. good hockey player now, but that's what he was. Yeah. He was a full speed. He was a force.
Yeah, he was fun to watch back in the day, for sure. So let me ask you: do you have a favorite game or a favorite playoff run?
So the I've been to my memorable playoff game was the Stars series. So in 2000, it had to have been 1, 2, 3. I'm pretty sure it was game 4. Yes, because we were no. It was. I think game 5, because we went and wanted to get, we went and wanted the next game in Dallas, but it was, we were up, I think it was 3-1. So it would have been game 5. It would have ended it. I was there. I am in the upper deck behind the Devil's goal, went to overtime. And at this point in overtime, I'm behind the Dallas net. So, we must have come in 3-on-2 or 4-on-2, and it turns over, and I mean, from our blue line, Madonna was going in on Brodeur, and I'm sitting there going, of all people, like, this is what's going to end this game right here. Like, I came to watch this championship, and of course Madonna beat Brodeur in overtime, and it went to Dallas, and then Arnett. Of course, Arnett scored on Dallas in Dallas to win that game. But yeah, that was my favorite game I've been to. I also, I mean, after being in tears at, well, let's see, 94. So I would have been 12 years old, in absolute tears when Stefan Matteau scored. And I saw Stefan Matteau sponsoring something yesterday, and I was like, you shouldn't sponsor anything. You're not popular. But after that, after the Devils, because the Devils came out of nowhere in 94 to challenge the Rangers.
Yeah.
And after that, the 95 run was, it was epic. And that's kind of what we all waited for. So that 95 run. And I mean, after that, it became commonplace for the Devils to be winners. So It was nice to watch, but really going through that first one is so awesome. And hey, I mean, this feels like 95 again.
Yeah. So we mentioned the Rangers in a bit, the Dallas game, whatever. But do you have a team you just hate to lose against to, or you love to beat?
Yeah, you're not from the New York area. and it's not really the Islanders. It's never been the Islanders. It's always been the Rangers and the Flyers. Yeah. And if you listen to a Devils game closely, there is a chance.
Yeah.
that I'm not going to say on here. But there is a chance, and it specifically points out the Rangers and the Flyers. Mm-hmm. We don't really care about that, because if you think about it, the Islanders' timeline's always been different from us. Mm-hmm. The Islanders were amazing in the 80s.
We were
terrible. We were awesome in the 90s and the early 2000s, and the Islanders were terrible. And then the Islanders started to come back in the last couple of years with literally our help. Lou Lamoriello went over there and was running the team, and we just sent, I mean, how could we not share for the Islanders when in 2 years we send our captain to them and we send three or four guys to them? I mean, we traded Andy Green to them. I mean, we all were cheering for Andy to win it, to win something, because we knew that's what the trade was about. We had no need for an aging defenseman captain anymore. We were rebuilding, and the Islanders needed that piece.
Yeah.
Same thing with who else was there? The forwards. It's been the Rangers since 94. It's been the Rangers since 94, and it's been the Flyers. Yeah. But the Flyers are the Flyers.
Yeah.
And that makes it really. But in this area, it's all teams against each other. Mm-hmm. Any sport. It's just better because unlike most areas, we overlap. We all overlap. Mm-hmm. I live in North Jersey, and it's Rangers, Devils, and Islanders all over. Not as much Islanders up here, because that's a lot more the other side of Manhattan, but it really is. It's Rangers, Devils. You get some Flyers up here, and you do get some Islanders fans up here. So we don't go to other arenas to have to have arguments. We just have arguments for the friend groups.
Yeah.
Because growing up, we're all, and it's not like you like a team that's far away. You like the team that's in our backyard, and we go at it. And that's why if you go to Devils fans, sometimes it's more Rangers fans there. If you go to a Rangers game, sometimes it's more Devils fans there. And it's not like, oh, they travel. Well, no, we're right here. Detroit Calgary, Edmonton, or Toronto, Montreal. Mm-hmm. Toronto, Montreal is kind of the same too, and it kind of, I would say, kind of the same, because they are geographic rivals, but they still have their same areas. We're just completely overlapped, and you have the old generation, the Rangers fans, versus the new generation, the Devils fans. So. And that's really kind of the way it goes. And, you know, and they came out with I don't know if you saw it on, it was also on social media today, the most hated teams list, the top 10. And both all three of them are on there. Ironically, the Islanders are on there too. I didn't know. I was like, that's odd. But tops it's definitely, I mean, you could probably guess most of them. The Leafs, Pittsburgh, the Caps, the Rangers, the Flyers.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that everybody loves to hate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to reach into my mailbag here for a listener question for you. Are you ready?
Uh-oh.
Okay, so.
Sure.
I got Amy from South Dakota. She writes, with Mackenzie Blackwood coming back after a lackluster start and Vanacek and Schmidt outperforming him and getting the job done in his absence, who do you think the team can count on to go to the playoffs and win the cup?
You know, the best ability is availability. I can't count on Blackwood anymore. Like, he cannot stay on the ice, and Schmidt is doing well. To be honest, the way it goes, I mean, you're playing Blackwood. You're sending Schmidt down. He needs the experience, is what it is. And you're playing Vanacek as your 1A and you're playing Blackwood as your 1B. Because when Blackwood is healthy in body and mind, dude can play. And that was the way they kind of did it with Vanacek. But it really is, it's Vanacek's show. Schmid's been the one that's been spelling him. But if you look at the starts, it's more 3-1, 4-1. But I really kind of see it as a 3-2 with Blackwood and fitting him in when he gets it. But you have to keep Vanacek healthy. So, I don't think Blackwood is long for this team, because it's just every time we grow to depend on him, it backfires. At least now we have someone. Look what happened. We have someone viable that we can depend on. That's not Blackwood. Mm-hmm. But he's an NHL goalie, no doubt. But he's got to stay on the ice. And what killed a lot for everybody was the vaccine thing. I don't know if you're familiar with it, the listeners familiar. When vaccines were optional, Blackwood was one of the few that decided not to take it. And when you listen to his interview, he didn't have the proper information on both sides. Uh-huh. And because of it, he wasn't able to go play in Canada. And I mean, you know, hockey is the ultimate team game. And if he didn't, when I wanted to watch his press conference, because I wanted to, if he was fully adamant, this is what he didn't want, he's not doing it, I was okay with it. But if you're on the fence, like, hockey is the ultimate team sport. That's kind of when you're like, I'm doing this for the team. Yeah. So I think it's a lot of stuff, like his mental game is a little off too. But that's kind of what started it. That's been his like the downfall before that was always injuries.
Yeah.
And this is kind of what started that kind of that mental emotional downfall too. And he just crumbles. Like he lets in one or two bad goals and it happens, but he also stands on his head. Yeah. And that's kind of why we've had, and if you listen, to some of the Devils games, you can hear the VTEX in the stands. I mean, it started like a month ago. And yeah. it's a combination of everything. Like, he's standing on his head, but even when we had Blackwood, we couldn't depend on him. So it was someone we knew that we could depend on back there, who's going to let us win games. And that's really what it is. So I'm hoping he comes back healthy. I'm hoping he comes back in his role. It helps, and he can fit into the role perfectly. I mean, and if he does, that's a great 1B, because he's not even a 2, he's a 1B. Mm-hmm. So I really hope that's how it works. Without the work, it might work out that way, but we'll see. I mean, it's Vanacek's show at this point.
Yeah, you're right about that. And hopefully he just stays healthy. That's all we can say, you know.
Yeah, and that's one of those you can't fault people for it. There are those guys. I actually one of my buddies, I called him a kid that I went to high school with, because that's what we knew about the kid from. The kid was my starting quarterback. That's our starting quarterback for our high school. He just could not. He just got hurt. It just happens. And that's, and there's some people that are like that. And then there's me who throw myself into everything, and somehow, knock on wood, I end up standing still. Me, it's just minor thing. It always just ends up being minor things. So mm-hmm. I'm lucky. And then it's just that's the way it goes for some people.
Yeah. Well, I have a few more questions, but I have more of the interview, but I always ask my guests, why should your team win?
Well, because we're the underdog, aren't we? I mean, everybody's looking. It's Boston and it's the Maple Leafs. And we're the ones who came in nowhere, and we are fun to watch. And in the fun to watch, like, we're dropping numbers. Like, this is a team that is not, the Devils are not known for putting up goals, and we are putting up goals at a crazy rate. And we are as deep, we're a deep, deep, deep team. They talked about it last game that the game before, when it was close, who did we play the game before? Oh, when the Blackhawks game, that it didn't start, like, it started out slow, It was one of the first times Lindy Ruff didn't just roll four lines. We've been rolling four lines all season. And when it can, we are, when you're rolling four lines all season, that second season of the playoffs becomes a lot easier. And yeah, your legs are a lot stronger and your legs are, and you can go a lot longer. So I think the fact that we have talent from top to bottom, and we have cohesiveness and we can put the pucks in the net on all four lines, it'll definitely help. And then the one thing that everybody forgets is, oh, sorry, we have five losses in the middle of December without a three-time Stanley Cup winner playing because Palat's had surgery. So Palat will be back in February. I don't know, six or seven games, I think he was second or third in our team in points. I mean, the first two games, we were terrible. So he's he's that vet, that extra veteran presence that's really going to help.
For sure, Palat. And I'm glad to see Dougie Hamilton. You know, you mentioned his facial surgery last year, and he didn't get a lot of games in. But this year, he's kicking ass. So I think that's cool. I like Dougie when he was over. He was with the Canes. So it's good to see him kicking ass.
And I think he needed a more offensive game plan too. Like he is just all over the place now. Now that he's comfortable and not having to worry about the back end and getting caught. Now that he knows if he hops into that play, it's either a goal, a very good scoring chance, or we are so good on rebounds and controlling it back in the zone that he's not worried. Like I let the way we constructed a defense that I couldn't even watch in 3 years ago is unbelievable. Severson's playing a high level hockey now, and we don't have it. I mean, our whole defense has changed. You have guys like we picked up like Marino and Graves. I mean, they were quote unquote castoffs from other teams. I mean, they were the ones that were ready, that were the expendable ones, and we found amazing roles for them to play and roles that they could play at a high level.
Yeah, Graves was an ab for a while. He was awesome.
Yeah, Graves was awesome in the abs. And don't forget, our last two number one picks aren't there yet, and they're both defensemen.
Mm-hmm. You got cool.
The kid from the kid Nemec, who was the second pick overall this year. Mm-hmm. And you have Luke Hughes, who's tearing it up in Michigan. So Jack's getting his brother next year. And that's why this year wasn't really our year anyway. The plan was always for next year. You had our two prize possessions on defense to really shore it up. Not even playing. They're working it out when they need to. You have Holtz, who's another sniper, who's getting some playing time, but still really focused on growing his game in Utica. And I mean, this is, and like, it may not, if it's, why should your team win the cup? It may not be, but we're not one of those. We're not Boston, or we're not Toronto. This is pretty much it for them. If they can't put one, if they can't pull it this year, it's almost over. For Boston, it is over because you know they're done.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Pasta comes back for a year, brings Krejci back for a year. It's not going to happen any longer. Mm-hmm. So, no, sorry, go ahead.
You're right about Boston.
We're in the position that, I mean, we're not expected to go anywhere. Yeah, we're not expected. We weren't expected to go anywhere in the beginning of the season. Now we're expected to make the playoffs and put a push, but if we don't make it out of the Eastern Conference, no one's going to be upset. I mean, there are some crazy Devils fans that are going to be upset. That always happens. But I mean, if we lose to Boston and somehow Toronto wins more than one series, that's fine with us. That's just a learning experience for next year. How many of these guys have playoff experience? Not many.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way, like, it's such a young team. So, like, it's a team that I thought they'd be winning based on youth, but yesterday was the first game that I watched that I was like, yuck, this is like last year. I turned it off two times last night.
Yeah.
After there were two goals scored. Vanacek led in a wraparound and let a goal in with nine seconds left in the first. And I'm like, yeah, I know how this goes. I don't want to watch this. And of course, the Devils just kept creeping back and making it close. And I'm like, guys, I don't want to watch this. I know how this ends.
Yeah.
But like, and the difference is like, those were three quarters of the games last year and the year before Meanwhile, we can call this a stinker the way they've been playing. Like this can be this could be the albatross, and just kind of like the Leafs game was. It wasn't a pretty game.
Yeah.
We took the L and we're like, well, this was stupid. And then went right ahead and went off with it. So like, I think they definitely have a possibility, but this is like, this is why they should, but why they shouldn't there too.
Yeah. Well, I think you guys are definitely making the playoffs, and you mentioned depth and a hot goalie. So I think that's what you need to get into the playoffs and succeed. Yeah, they're young, but if you got the depth and a great goalie, and that's the playoffs, anything can happen. So, but I just wanted to switch and start.
But then there's the playoffs, and that's where veteran. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right about veteran
presence. I was gonna say, that's the playoffs, and that's when veteran presence really matters. So.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to ask some questions about the Blind Hockey League. Can you tell me about that? You host your own podcast, The Dented Puck.
So my buddy and I, Drew is from Chicago. Drew's the one who's a Blackhawks, Stars, and Leafs fan. He's been called out. He's allowed to have three teams. He's also a Ducks fan, but that's because he blames that one on his wife. He did grow up in Dallas, so I'll give him that. Like, he's allowed to have Dallas. The Maple Leafs, I just give him trash for the Maple Leafs. But a little over three, I played roller hockey in college. I grew up in the 90s, so I grew up in the roller hockey era. I was a teacher, and 10 years ago, I was walking my softball team out to the bus. I walked back in, and I'm rubbing my right eye, and I look at the door frame to the cafeteria, and here's your vocabulary word for the day. The vocabulary word is skew. Like a skew line is to the side of where it should be. And I'm looking at the door frame and part of it is not in line. And I am like, dude, I am not on drugs. That's not right. So I cover up my left eye and I look at the door again of my right eye and it's normal. I cover my right eye and there's something wrong with it. So that was 10 years ago. By 2017, I had lost my entire left eye and I had lost 90% of my right eye. What I've been diagnosed with is basically just neurological inflammations. So any inflammation that people get in their nerves, I get in my optic nerve. So that basically shut down my optic nerves. In September of 2018, I was doing dishes and with the TV on and the local news on, which is not normal. So it means I just turned the TV on and just kind of left it. And I hear a bunch of disabled people are finding joy in this sport they never thought they could play. I'm like, I'm an athlete. I taught special ed. I just start listening at New York Metro Blind Hockey. And I am literally like, what the fuck? And I just turn and run towards the TV because I'm blind and this is hockey. We shouldn't be able to play hockey. And like, I'm just like, all right, I got to find information. I talked to a woman who runs the local team and we're talking. I'm like, I was a special ed teacher. I played hockey in college. Like, I am made to coach this team. Like, I would, whatever you need, I'll come out, I'll help. Like, I can teach every one of them. And she's like, Josh, I don't think you understand. You don't have to coach, you can play. And like a 9-year-old, my voice cracked. I can play. And from that moment, and 2 weeks, yeah, exactly. And 2 weeks later, I watched our U.S. national team play Canada. And the first game I watched it, I'm like, oh, they're pretty good. Second game I watched it, I was like, huh, I think I can make this team if I get back in shape. And the third game, I was like, I can make this team. So it took almost 3 years, but I'm a member of the USA national team. Blind hockey is about as similar to any regular sport of any disabled sport that you're just like, all right, like deaf and hard of hearing hockey is hockey. They just make they just use lights when you go off sides. Like they use signals as opposed to sounds and whistles. So there's not much, they don't need much adaptation. You can play hockey without ears. But eyes are a different story. And I'm sure you're familiar with sled hockey, right?
Oh yeah.
And I mean, which is as much a massive adaptation, but allows people without the use of their legs to play hockey. So our only real adaptation is our puck. Our puck, for a regular puck that's 3 inches wide, 3 inches in diameter, an inch tall, and made of rubber, our puck is 5 inches wide, 2 inches tall, and made of sheet metal with 8 ball bearings inside. Mm-hmm. It does not feel good to block. but however, with the sound, with the sound and size, it basically allows all of us to play. For me, my vision, what I see is 2040. I have incredible tunnel vision. Like the negative thing you hear about hockey players, I have it. I can't help it. So I don't really need the sound. I kind of need the size from far away. It helps me see. But that is our main adaptation. The other minor ones are based on the goalies. So our goalies are the ones that are completely blind.
Okay.
Cue the laugh. So here's the reason. So they don't have to skate. Right? So they're in one spot most of the time. Now, all of our other rules are based on making it fair for the goalies. So the goals are a foot shorter because our goalies stay in butterfly the whole time. And when you get in the offensive zone, you have to make a pass so the goalie can hear it. Because if I'm stick handling this, if I'm just keeping it on my blade, they're not going to know it. I could dunk it right in front of them and they wouldn't know.
Yeah.
But when that puck moves, when that puck is passed, you can definitely hear the initial, you can hear when it is passed, and then a little bit through, and then you can hear where it's accepted. So if the puck is passed point to point, the goalie can hear the top left, and then maybe hear it going, and then hear it at the top right, and be able to adjust to where it is. So those are really the only rules, and legally blind, and we even have a totally blind player who plays defense can play. Yeah. I mean, it is, and if you watch the lower levels, we look very blind. If you watch at the elite levels, we look like hockey players, and then every so often you're like, what happened? And then it makes sense. Almost 100 years in Canada. At one of the blind schools in the 1930s, they were like, hey, let's try to play hockey. However, I mean, INSU really started in the 70s, but it was just very small, couple teams in the, the Toronto, Montreal area.
Yeah.
In one of our last episodes with Luca DeMontis, who is the coach of the Canadian national team, his brother Mark is the one that's very instrumental in blowing it up. In 2009, Mark basically started what was called Courage Canada, which turned into Canadian Blind Hockey. He did a rollerblade across Canada to start blind hockey teams, with the blessing of guys like Herb Carnegie and stuff like, and people in hockey diversity circles like that. So really what we attribute is really to a bunch of different starting points, but blind hockey as we know it now is really based on Mark DeMontis and the Canadians really blowing it up. In 2015, a guy named Kevin Shanley decided, who was not a hockey player growing up, decided, I want to go do this. So Kevin Shanley is the godfather of blind hockey in the U.S. Brought it back, and from there we have 25 teams across the U.S. about 300 players. Canada's probably got about 300 players. Yeah, I mean, now how many blind people have you ever met? You're thinking, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's kind of. I'm the first blind. See. I met two blind girls when I was doing my special ed master's in college. Before and after then, never. I was a special ed teacher for a decade. Never met a blind person. I'm the only blind person I knew. So this is, and then now if you can't see or you have a problem seeing and you want to play a sport, are you going to play one that involves running or ice.
Yeah.
So these are kind of our major obstacles is getting, yeah, right? Like, is getting people to really try to start playing hockey, but playing blind hockey. But we're starting to get with the ones that started 5 and 6 years ago. They're starting to become like the teenagers and getting into the adulthood now. So it's really starting to take that next level. But what we do with it, so Drew and I started the Dentapuck podcast, and what we know about disabled people in hockey is disabled people are underemployed and underpaid. Mm-hmm. And hockey is the most expensive sport in the world. Mm-hmm. We noticed very quickly was a massive gap between the haves and the have-nots and what people want to do and what they can and what my peers can do. So we also started the Dentapuck Foundation. We also do a yearly tournament, not put on by USA Hockey, put on by us. Because as the OGs of this, we know what kind of needs to be done to grow this. And we know what hockey players need in events. So we've kind of taken it upon ourselves to really grow the game as much as possible in the States. Because we, as a country, we're very philanthropic. But as a country, we're not a very hockey country. That's kind of what I say to the Canadians. The Canadians told me their philanthropy in Canada is nowhere near ours. And my response is, oh, yeah, but it's Canada. And it's hockey. Like, it's the same thing here. Here we have beat baseball. We have goalball. Goalball is basically is exact it what you think it is. You throw a ball into a goal. I'm not going to say my opinions about goalball, but it is not a sport that I would want to play. And the same way I've actually had the conversation with beef baseball guys. Like, I love baseball. I grew up playing baseball. But, like, the way their game is, and they've told me, like, you have to come out. I'm like, I will. I'm going to tell you. If I don't like it, it's not on you guys. But really, like, our version of our sport is, and like, it's hockey. I mean, we also take a team and we play charity tournaments against guys that can see and generally get the crap beaten out of us, but it's because they can see.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, blind hockey has been a savior for a lot of my peers. I mean, when you are going through something that like blindness, because blindness is it's very hard to find community when you, forget the pun, can't find things. But I mean, blind is one of those disabilities that it demolishes your independence. So I have to rely on Uber to get most places. And this is like, it's finding other blind people is difficult, but like what blind hockey was explained to me in the beginning, it's a support group that plays hockey. And I looked at her and I was funny. I laughed. I looked at the same lady who told me, like, I can play. I looked at her and laughed. I'm like, yeah, I kind of get it. But, dude, this is just hockey. Like, that's the way hockey is. It's a team game. And it is the ultimate team game.
I have a few questions, though.
I know by you. Sorry, go ahead.
So... You guys have like different ranks, B1, B2, B3, B4. Is that correct?
All right. Yeah, you know what? I missed that one. All right. So I'm glad you read on it because I'm missing stuff. So unlike most blind sports, blind soccer, which is called five-a-side soccer, you're completely blindfolded. Beat baseball, you're completely blindfolded. There's actually a version of blind hockey being played in Texas where they're all completely blind or blindfolded. Mm-hmm. But in our eyes, it's scripted. They make points to where they need to go and they make passes towards those areas. The way blind hockey was created was to be inclusive of everybody, regardless of as long as there is a significant vision problem. Our B1s are completely blind. B2, okay. I'm a B2. I'm the one right above completely blind. And then B3 is the highest level of vision while still being legally blind. In order to play international competition, you need to be legally blind. Okay. Our B4s are those guys that they may not be legally blind, but legally blind is 15 degrees in vision in each eye or less. So if you have 20 degrees of vision in each eye, you're not keeping up with regular hockey guys. So that's kind of our idea to keeping, to be inclusive to everybody who, because of a vision problem, can't really, it's not fair for them to play with regular players. All these are points. So B3, there's two ways you can be classified as blind. By acuity, which is how you see, how the clarity you see with, and to be legally blind. I have the easiest definition in the hockey rinks too. Legally blind is 220/200 or worse. So if you're the goalie and you look at, and you look off the faceoff dot to your right, that's 20 feet. So what you see to the other net at 200 feet away is how clear we see if we're standing your goal to the dot right next to you.
Yeah.
That makes sense, right? Like, that's kind of quantifies it. So how clear you see all the way down the ice is how clear we see when it's 20 feet away at the dot. So that's legally blind. That's a B3. So you have to be worse, that or worse, to be legally blind and play as a B3. B2 is 2400 is 20. It might be worse. It might be 2800 or worse. And 2800 would be what you see at 20 at 800 feet, we see at 20 feet. And then B1s are the completely blind ones. For me, I'm visual field, so that's the one I can attribute a lot better. For my visual field, for a B3 in visual field, it's 15 degrees of vision or less in each eye, in your best eye. B2 is 5 degrees of vision or less in your best eye. Now, I have about 9 degrees in one eye. So it took me 2 or 3 tries to get what we call qualified or certified as a B2. Because in one eye, I'm over it. But you can't tell me in a sport that's a team sport based on peripheral vision, that me missing an eye, that doesn't matter. Now that you kind of know how the rankings work, this is how it fits in. You're only allowed to have 14 points on the ice at the same time. So take out one for the goalie, and you have, and the way they envisioned it is forwards at 3 points, so 3, 6, 9. Your defense are 2 points, 11, 13, and your goalie is 1, 14. So it really gives those guys with less vision like me the ability to play and be valuable the same way the guys with more vision are. So it's inclusive in that way. And the same thing with goalies. If you've lost all your vision, or you've lost so much that you can't play, you can go play goalie, and that's all right also.
Yeah, so communication is obviously super important. So you guys have codes, like, you know, I got the puck, he's got, other teams got the puck, like, how do you?
So that's actually, oh man, I'll let you in a little USA secret. So we're kind of going through a massive transformation in our communication. When I first started, I played with them the first time in June of 2021. And I wasn't familiar enough with everybody to say what I said in August, which was, it's noise pollution. So the way we used to do it, our biggest issue is when the puck's turned over and coming back. So that way, if you're down the other end of the ice, you don't know that puck was turned over. It's a 3-on-1 without realizing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what we had been doing, we were using blue and red to tell us when the puck was getting turned over. And what would turn into one person saying blue would turn into everybody screaming blue and blue and blue, to the fact where we were so concerned about this, we lost all hockey vocabulary. So we were so concerned with the vocabulary we needed to help our vision that nobody was using slot, boards, around, back, drop. Like all these words were being lost because we were so concerned with the communication we needed to play hockey as blind people, to play a sport as blind people, because we're missing that actually hockey vocabulary. And through a lot of conversations, we're kind of starting to transform to the point where there's echoing involved, but we're losing a lot of that noise pollution. So when someone says across or back, you can hear that above blue, 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 red, 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 red.
Yeah.
But really, yeah, like we do not communicate anywhere as much as needed. The major communication is especially to the goalies because they can't see what they're doing and sometimes they can't hear that puck. So yeah. the weak side defenseman who's usually playing slot, right? It's basically their job to kind of keep the goalie abreast of where the puck is. Because if you think about it, if the puck's on the right side and the goalie's on the left side, it's a goal.
Yeah.
And that also turns a defenseman's job into being a second goalie.
Yeah. Well, and so how does
he can't see it coming and I can see it coming. Sorry, go ahead.
How does offside work? Does the ref say it or do you guys? I don't know how do you do that?
So at our higher levels, we know offside. We know delayed offside too. And by us screaming and everybody screaming, it's good. I mean, for the most part, the whistles work. So if you think about it, whistles do work. And we should know. Like, and we know, like, there are some guys that'll make moves at the blue line that pull people off sides. I'm like, dude, you know better. Like, doesn't matter if it's sided hockey or not, you don't pull a move at the blue line because you're gonna pull somebody off sides. Mm-hmm. But really our goal is to get the puck into the zone first. Because if you can't make a pass, you can't score. So our goal is really to get that puck in and then have trailers. So offsides is usually not a problem unless someone's really still in the zone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, offsides is called, penalties are called. Roughing is funny because a lot of our refs have never ref blind hockey before. So they're learning the rules. And there's a lot of incidental contact.
Yeah.
You can't see each other coming. You can't see each other coming. There's a lot of incidental contact.
Yeah, I was going to ask how physical it gets. But then, no, I wanted to ask.
It is no check.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It is no check because if it was check, people would end up paralyzed because you can't see people coming. You have that one guy who's going to do it to people, right?
Yeah.
I'll call him Truba. For argument's sake, but think about it. If it was check and I'm blind on my left side, if I get hit by my left side, I'm getting into a fight because I can see you coming and you absolutely blasted me. And I do the same thing for other people, but it is as physical as it can get without open ice checks, without actual checks.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
And you get checks anyway, because people don't see each other coming. Mm-hmm. And I mean, nobody does it on purpose. Even us in Canada, we go at each other's throats. Like we every time, and they're Canadians, they're nice. So as every time we hit each other, we're like, you good, all gone. And that's what happens every time, because the intent is not to hit each other like that. We never do.
No, I just wanted to ask, where does USA blind hockey take you? Like, do you mentioned Canada, you were just in Texas, like where does it take you?
So right now, and this is being led by the Canadians, we are working on the Paralympics. We are far away, but working on. In order to be in the Paralympics, we need two world tournaments. So you need at least 6 teams for the world tournament, and you need 8 for Paras. Right now, we are in Russia. You know, those ties are a little frayed.
Yeah.
We are in Russia. We are in Finland solidly. We are in England solidly. We are in Sweden. So it's starting to grow, but unlike a lot of sports, we need 10 people. You need 10, 12 people for a team, no matter what. So,
yeah.
And like I said, finding blind people getting to skate is not the easiest thing. USA Blind Hockey is actually, our first event was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and we're going up to Canada. We're the only two actual teams at this point. The other countries are getting things together and getting teams together, but don't have the manpower to field a team. Mm-hmm. We will probably be helped out by the leniency of the disabled inclusion sports rules, which basically allow you to pledge allegiance to a country to help them out. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Kind of like South Korea, wasn't it? South Korea during the, oh, China too. No, hockey was South Korea, right? What was the Winter Olympics? South Korea, right?
Pyongyang. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, South Korea was the last one. And then Sochi before
Pyeongchang. And their hockey players were from Canada and US, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the idea, is that we have a little bit of leniency to do that. And we have a lot of players in Canada, the US kind of fill out some of these teams. It's getting that together. COVID killed it. Our hope was kind of that the Paralympic Committee would see that, would take that COVID killed it, that's something that hasn't happened in 100 years, killed something that probably could have happened, and look at it favorably. But instead they basically said, no, you guys, we're not giving you guys a break on trying to work through this. So we're hoping for 2030 as a demo and 2034 as a full sport. The original was hoping for 2026 a demo and 2030 as a full sport. But that'll put me at 52, so yay. I mean, these are just it's the path that it's the path that sports have to go through to get to the Olympics and the Paralympics. And like, look, baseball was in and out. There are a lot of sports that are in and out of the Olympics. And the same thing with Paralympics, but Paralympics is still on its way growing, as opposed to the Olympics, which is fully established, where if you want a sport in there, it's a lot more work than we have to do. We just have to establish ourselves as a legitimate world sport.
Yeah.
And right now we're a North American sport, is basically the idea what it is.
All right, sweet. Well, Josh,
going with your question. You did say Dallas. So our charity is, so USA has taken us to Canada, but our charity, the Denton Puck Foundation, is what's been taking up me to Drew and Drew to Dallas and to the other places in the US, trying to grow the sport in our country.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think, Josh, I just wanted to thank you so much for telling me more about blind hockey. I think it's really awesome. I've listened to a couple of your Denton Puck podcasts. Tell your Blackhawks fan, I'm looking for a Blackhawks fan. So
you got him. He'll come on. Yeah, you know what? You look at a Blackhawks fan, Stars, Ducks, Leafs. What else does he like? Like you could combine four of them into one episode, and somehow all four of those teams are gonna make in the playoffs, especially the Ducks.
A super episode.
How are they that bad?
All right, Josh, just want to say thank you for your time. And good luck with the blind hockey and everything else, man. Go Devils.
Awesome. Yeah, go Devils. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to be on. I hope the weather is – how's the weather in Belgium?
It's freezing, which means it's 29 degrees.
Well, I'm like, you're from the Dakotas, aren't you? I was like, freezing should be a lot different for you than for me.
I know. I'm used to like minus 20, so I'll take 29 degrees. So
awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you shining a light on blind hockey too.
Yeah. And hey, we'll get back in touch once the playoffs roll around.
Absolutely. I will hop on. Thank you so much.
See you later, Josh. Bye.